Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
We've got another jam-packed show for you. We're going to get to it all shortly, but first a word from Freedom Chamber. Pro-American business owners, you're not alone. Yeah, you know, we used to say this thing all the time. Glenn used to say it. It's not that they surround us. We surround them. The Freedom Chamber is open for business. And when you join the Freedom Chamber, you and other small business owners, medium business owners, can make your voices heard. The Freedom Chamber provides exclusive benefits to help business owners grow and protect their business by building a future rooted in faith and family and freedom. We can't just sit on the sidelines. We need to unite our voices to fight back with strength and numbers. And like I will do, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but occasionally I'll complain about some of these big companies. And look, sure, that's therapeutic in a way, but it's much more important to take steps on the positive side. Not just complaining about what's bad, but doing something that's actually good. The Freedom Chamber is the pro-American business network. You can join today at freedomchamber.net. It's freedomchamber.net.
Stu Does America.
Be sure to keep up to date on the 2024 election with State of the Race. The podcast is available for you free. It's a bonus pod under the Stu Does America podcast stream. So just sign up for Stu Does America. You'll get the bonus pod as well. Probably a new episode coming in the next, probably next week. It's probably the next one that's coming. We've got so much going on. I've been talking nonstop politics here, and we've been covering everything, but there's so much more to get to, and we'll get to that on State of the Race. Make sure to sign up. Also, make sure to watch the content we have over at youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Get the show, Stu Does America, there, of course. But also, we've been doing a lot of these live broadcasts around these big events, a big speech, a big interview, like the Stephanopoulos interview. We had an hour-long reaction to that, taking your questions and breaking down every single thing that happened in the interview. We're going to be doing more of those as we get closer to the election. The one thing I'll say to you, go to the page, subscribe, follow, whatever they call it, at youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica, and click the bell for notifications, because that will give you an alert when we actually start one of these live broadcasts. Coming up in a little bit, Rob Eno is going to be here to grade the mainstream media on their Biden implosion coverage. We're getting really super duper close to a Trump VP pick. I pinky swear promise, sort of. We'll go over the current front runners, or at least the latest leak about who the current front runners are. We'll see if that's true. But we start by doing Biden abandoned. And this has been Biden just being abandoned by the mainstream media. It's been really, really, really super duper sad to watch. And I know all of us are really broken up apart about it. I keep thinking to myself, we're going to look back at this period as one of the strangest few weeks of all time, where the media just decided to kind of do their job for 2 or 3 weeks. Certainly that will end very, very soon. But right now, they're basically harder on Joe Biden than most conservative media. Like, they're like, you know, people over at Breitbart are like, guys, just lay off him. I mean, you're going a little too far here. It's kind of a strange place to be and to watch. We are still having those layers of coverage come in. And I want to get to some of those here in a minute. But I also want to get to the most important Joe Biden story of the day. There's one that I think is most important. You probably haven't even read it, honestly, but I think it's the most important Joe Biden story of the day. I'm going to get to that here in a second, but I want to give you up to date on what's going on. The New York Times has come out with yet another editorial board op-ed. This is their like nuclear weapon. Okay, this is when they really want to say something that's super duper important. They come out with an editorial board op-ed. This one is called "The Democratic Party Must Speak the Plain Truth to the President." It ends like this. "The 2024 presidential election is not a contest between two men or even between two political parties. It is a battle for who we are as a nation. President Biden clearly understands the stakes, but he seems to have lost track of his own role in this national drama. As the situation has become more dire, he has come to regard himself as indispensable. He does not seem to understand that he is now the problem and that the best hope for Democrats to retain the White House is for him to step aside." I mean, the use of "indispensable man" there is not a coincidence. And the fact that they're saying Joe Biden is the problem flies in the face of everything they've been saying since he took office until June 27th. On that day, everything magically changed because on that day, they figured out, holy crap, we're actually going to lose this, aren't we? We need to change tactics before it's too late. When it's not too late anymore, I have a feeling this is going to change, but we'll get to that here in a minute. Another story from the Wall Street Journal. Now, you remember, they did a story weeks ago saying, look, behind the scenes, Biden's slipping. This is before the debate. They were lit up by every media source. Everybody on the left lit them up and said, this is irresponsible, and you're just wish casting, and you're doing right-wing propaganda. Of course, now they all agree with it. Never a mea culpa, never a moment where they say, gosh, we really blew that a few weeks ago, didn't we? No, of course not. Their headline today in the Wall Street Journal, how Biden's inner core worked to keep signs of aging under wraps. Aides kept tight rein on the president's travel plans, news conferences, public appearances, and meetings with donors while Biden's stumbles became increasingly obvious. If the White House, which is filled with groups of people that you employ, you pay for, is hiding how infirmed the president is, that is a major national scandal. That is not like a thing, oh gosh, can you believe the campaign did this? Can you believe these aides were doing that? This is a major, massive, national, maybe international scandal. We're the world's superpower here. It might be an international scandal. The fact that the American people don't know and we're trying to be conned into voting for a man who can't speak, who can't get through a meeting, who is losing his mental acuity every single day, points to something really, really serious as a problem in our country. Now, how do you deal with that problem in our country? James Carville has an idea, and I like James. I mean, I don't know that I like James Carville. I will say I love James Carville's wife. James Carville, you know, I don't know that I love the guy, but what I do like about him is that he will just kind of blurt stuff out, right? Like, he was one of the first people who came out on the Democratic side and said, this is crazy, we got to replace this guy. Of course, he's now getting a kind of an influx of love because now everyone's saying what he was saying a few months ago. He has an idea. He says, Biden won't win. Democrats need a plan. Here's one. And it is sort of, I mean, it's actually a pretty good headline because it's kind of a flippant fantasy football sort of plan. They're going to do like this crazy, you know, couple really short primary with eight candidates. How are you to come up with the eight candidates running? Well, Bill Clinton and Barack Obama are going to agree to them. I mean, for this party that loves democracy, like, oh, two guys that used to be president are going to choose or make our choices for us. And then I guess they would pick out of that eight. I don't know if they'd have some sort of like rose ceremony to see who gets kicked off the island. I don't know how any of that works. But Carville's basically saying, don't just hand it to Kamala. She can be one of the people, but like, let's have some voting going on and some looking at these candidates a little bit closer. He wants the delegates to decide it. Again, that doesn't feel, while that is a big part of the democracy that is inside of our republic, I don't know that anybody feels good about like the old school convention at this point. I mean, people want to be able to cast votes. They cast their vote for Joe Biden. I mean, I know that feels uncomfortable now, but it is also true. Tie clips. Tie clip drives me nuts. Okay, the debate polling. Well, you know, it's been pretty interesting. Poll finds that Biden damaged by the debate, with Harris and Clinton best positioned to win. I mean, look, there's no chance that Hillary Clinton is going to be the nominee. Zero chance. And I will stand by that one. I have to. Hillary Clinton is despised by the Democrats. They hate her as much as you hate her. Well, maybe not as much, but close, because what they see her as is a person who lost to Donald Trump. That's what they see her as. They loved her until that moment. They couldn't believe she lost, and now they despise her. I don't think there's any chance she's the nominee. There's certainly much more chance that Joe Biden is the nominee than Hillary Clinton. And I think there's much higher probability that, like, if Biden were to step out, I think it's Kamala Harris 90%. Like, it's possible they could try one of these concoctions of plans for this new primary and make up all these rules on the fly. It's not impossible. Democrats are Democrats. They break rules all the time. But to skip over Kamala Harris, it better be for a good reason. Probably needs to be some for someone like Michelle Obama, which they don't actually have. What the polls show 11 days after the Biden-Trump debate, some of the stuff is pretty interesting. But what I would say is, if you happen to be Joe Biden, I think this is all pretty encouraging, frankly. All these polls are post-debate now, and the average was before the debate, Trump by one, and now it's by two. Okay, move by a point. You're really going to freak out over that? CNN's national poll before the debate, Trump by six. After the debate, also by six. New York Times, before the debate, Trump by 6 among registered voters and 4 points among likely voters. After the debate, it was 8 points among registered voters and 6 points among likely voters. So, you know, moved to a couple of points. That's kind of what we've seen overall as we've gone. Now, if you kind of go into really high quality polling, you're seeing some really worrisome signs for Democrats. Nate Cohn highlighted this. He's the one of the data guys at the New York Times. He says, perhaps the most important poll you've never heard of came out today, the Pew NPRS study. This is a large male survey with financial incentives and a 30% response rate. Basically, they really want you to respond to this. They're going to pay you to actually go through and do the work. The headline, the NPRS found that found leaned party identification at Republicans plus one. That's not a massive margin. It's the first time, though, that the NPRS gives the GOP a party ID edge. Last year, it was Democrats plus two. Significant in its own right, given the quality of the survey, and it hits other polls. It kind of gives you a baseline as to what the electorate might look like. That's why they use this poll, so, and it's such a significant one. By subgroup, the headline is age. The NPRS found that the GOP was ahead on leaned party ID among 18 to 29-year-olds, even though the sample was Biden plus 20 on 2020 recall vote. To translate that for you, one of the questions they ask in a lot of these polls is, all right, just generically, do you want Republicans or Democrats to win? And that generic vibe will give you kind of a sense of where the electorate is. If it's Democrats plus 7, it seems like it's a big Democratic-leaning year. Republicans plus 3, it's a big Republican-leaning year. Usually they lean slightly Democrat. What this is saying is, if you ask people, hey, are you Republican or Democrat? A bunch of people are going to say Republican, a bunch are going to say Democrat. And then others are going to say, well, I might be independent, but I lean Republican, lean Democrat. If you look at the leaners, what you're seeing among young voters, 18 to 29, is a Republican plus 20 number. That's bonkers. Should not happen, never happens, never supposed to happen. Like, that's not supposed to be a thing. If that holds up, the Democrats are in deep, deep trouble all over the ballot. That is a terrible, terrible number for Democrats. The sample size is pretty large, about 500. The race also had, racially, there were some shifts as well. The Democratic share of major party leaning white, non-white voters kept edging downward from 68 to 65. So again, not a massive vote, but non-white voters moving 3 points toward Republicans. This is a good thing for Republicans if you're looking at that from the conservative perspective. Now, let me give you just a quick download of where the polls look like they are right now in summary. And then I want to get to the biggest Joe Biden story of the day, because we have not talked about that yet. And it is massively important. I looked through all the election models, the main ones that I could find. In addition, some of the polling averages. Let me just give you a quick rundown of where we are. The New York Times polling average has Trump up by 3. Real Clear Politics average has Trump also up by 3. If you're Joe Biden, a 3-point lead is not a 7 or 8-point lead. As I said before, when the debate thing happened, if Biden can get through the first couple of weeks, and then if the polls don't completely turn against him, if it doesn't show a lot of polls like that New York Times survey that showed him down by 8 among registered voters, if you're just getting the 3-point, the 2-point, the 1-point leads, he could totally survive that. It's if it gets to 8 or 9 where it's really going to be a problem, or his approval rating starts dropping below 30. Right now, it's holding around 36, 37. That's terrible, but also basically where he was before the debate. If the debate doesn't show any major difference, why would you switch? Especially if he doesn't want to switch. So the polling averages between those two groups, again, New York Times, Trump plus 3, Real Clear Politics, Trump plus 3. When you look through the forecasts, okay, these are groups that are trying to look at all the polls, all the fundamentals, and trying to give you a percentage odds that one candidate can win. Donald Trump's worst result here is by 538, the website formerly run by Nate Silver. No longer, he runs now his own service. We'll get to that in a second. But 538 has Trump at 51% chance to win. That's the worst. Next worst is DDHQ, which has Trump at 60% to win. Then Nate Silver has Trump at 69% chance to win. And The Economist has a model as well. They have him actually most optimistic for Trump at 74% chance to win. The bottom line is Trump is a massive favorite. And all the polling that is included in these models and these averages is now post-debate. So we kind of have a sense of where this settles. Will this continue to happen? Will this coverage continue to batter Joe Biden? Well, that's an important question, which leads us to the most important Joe Biden story of the day, because we have had an interesting couple of weeks. Starting on June 27th, check the New York Times. You would see story after story after story after story giving you, hey, here's Joe Biden and why he did so badly. Look how badly Joe Biden did in this interview. Look how badly he did in this appearance. Hey, another Democrat just came out and said that they don't want Joe Biden to run. Hey, this unnamed donor just came out and said they don't want Joe Biden to run. Hey, here's how Kamala Harris could be put in if they really wanted to. Hey, here's how the election rules will show you how we can switch this guy out. Here's an op-ed from the editorial board telling us that he should drop out, over and over and over again, nonstop barrage. There have been brief interruptions in the middle of the day, like, you know, the Supreme Court rulings come down. There have been brief interruptions in the day. But the main story, basically every single morning and almost all the time through the day since June 27th, has been basically some version of get the hell out of here, Joe Biden, from the New York Times. I kid you not, this is really what they've been doing. Today, however, I woke up and I saw the most important Joe Biden story of the day, and here it is. U.S. officials say Russia is unlikely to take much more Ukrainian territory. You might say, why is that the most important Joe Biden story of the day? It's a good question. But the answer to that is, it's not about him. The top story at the New York Times today, for the first time since the debate, was not about Joe Biden, was not about how bad he is, was not about how old he is, was not about how infirmed he was. It's not about how he should get out, or who's calling for him to get out, or how they can push him out, or what will happen if he does get pushed out. It was about Russia. Now look, you can write a top story about Russia every single day if you want to focus on the minutiae of the Russia-Ukraine war. There's obviously big things going on there every single day. But the fact is, today, that has been interrupted. And in fact, almost all day today, it has been something Russia or Ukraine related. Does this mark the turning point where the media has thrown every arrow they can against Joe Biden and he has survived them and pushed back this wave of attackers? Can he actually pull this thing off and survive? It wouldn't shock me at any point that he drops out. I think right now he's the favorite to stay in. That does not include calculating another major catastrophe in some speech. I mean, it could change things in an instant. But where he is right now, he's starting to get public statements of support from major officials. He's starting to get the things he needs to get done. And while it took a while, it seems like he's finally turning the tides to remain as the nominee. I'll be honest with you, I want him to remain the nominee because he's absolutely terrible. And while the other candidates don't look that good for the Democrats, they're all unknowns. We don't know how it will play out. This one we kind of do, right? We know Joe Biden's going to be old. He's going to be terrible. He's going to make a lot of mistakes. We know what he's going to be. He should be, by any Republican, very, very beatable. You can't lose to Joe Biden in this spot, in his condition. You can't. It just can't happen. You got to make sure you pull that off. You got to figure it out. So we will see if that happens. If he drops out, you've got a whole new dynamic. Who knows what's going to happen? So there you go. The kind of download of the day. I want to get into the media side of this a little bit more with Rob Eno, who joins us next.
Stu Does America.
If you haven't pulled a trigger on a pair of Raycons, you got to do it. I mean, even if you're in the market for, you know, another pair, you have one, you want to get another because they're just that good. Now is the time to check them out again because they've just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. If you wear headphones, you listen to this show on a podcast, podcast on headphones, you got to have everyday earbuds from Raycon. They're fantastic. They have active ergonomic design. They also have multi-point connectivety. If you're going anywhere with your kids, on a plane with your kids, they can let you pair with two devices at once, which is a really, really nice thing. They've got active noise cancellation, which is great, available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. Look, the bottom line is they're the best headphones you're going to buy. They're 30-day happiness guarantee that they've got going on. So even if you're not sure, get a pair. Try them out. You're going to like them more than the headphones you have now, and you're going to keep them for as long as possible. You're going to love these things. BuyRaycon.com/Stu. BuyRaycon.com/Stu. Get 15% off your Raycon order right now, plus free shipping. These are the headphones that will not fall out of your ears, whether you're working out, whether you're dancing around, whether you're jumping around. You can even put your head down on a pillow, and they fit flush to your ear, so they're not just, you know, jamming you in the ear. Who wants to deal with that nonsense? So get 15% off right now. Free shipping at buyraycon.com/Stu. Check it out now. Upgraded everyday earbuds from Raycon. Get them at buyraycon.com/Stu.
Jeder meckert über den ÖPNV. Aber was steckt wirklich dahinter? Mit dem Podcast Ticket to Anywhere blickst du hinter die Kulissen des Nahverkehrs. Schauspieler Maximilian Mund reist zu seiner Oma, trifft spannende Menschen wie Malte Zierden oder Linda Zervakis und erklärt alles zu Bus und Bahn. Und wie sie besser werden können. Erlebe ein außergewöhnliches Audioerlebnis rund um unsere alltägliche Mobilität. Jetzt reinhören auf Spotify oder unter zukunftnahverkehr.de/podcast.
I want to bring in Rob Eno. He's Blaze TV's resident media critic, and he's on the program now to talk about what else the media reaction to the debate and Joe Biden. One of the most incredible things I've ever seen. I would never have believed, no matter what happened on a debate stage, that we would see the media seemingly go all in to try to get Joe Biden out.
What I have learned in previous to being here, when I used to write a local blog in Massachusetts, is the media doesn't like being overtly lied to and caught in it. And this isn't exactly that, but Noah Berman used to write for the Boston Globe. He now writes for the LA Times. Deval Patrick, who was the then governor, basically lied every time, every quarter that the jobs numbers came out. His numbers did not match the federal numbers, and the Boston Globe would just run with them, and the Boston Herald would just run with them. And I said to him, I'm like, Noah, this isn't right. And I'm like, he's like, kept tweeting at him. He's like, let's just get breakfast. Got breakfast, showed him exactly where the federal numbers were and where the state numbers were. He basically wrote a front page story in the Boston Globe quoting me, who was just a little old local blogger, about how the Deval Patrick administration was lying to the people because he bought their lies. This is the same thing. They will obfuscate for you. They'll do everything. But when you bold face lie to them, when you come out after the Wall Street Journal story had excellent reporting from Republicans and Democrats saying that Joe Biden had lost a step, and you come out and say that was all lies, these people didn't say that, and then the media took that ball and ran with it, that this is just a crazy right-wing talking point, you get to the point where Joe Biden goes on stage and goes, and then the media goes, what was that? I mean, we've seen it, right? We've known this is happening. You get a senility noun bug that you can buy at StuDoesMerch.com.
That's right, you can.
You know, you've got that you've had. It's just amazing to me, and it makes me think, if they've lied and obfuscated about this, what else have we been saying
that they've
been obfuscating that's actually true?
Isn't it too a real problem that the media somehow allowed this to happen? Like, because they can get mad, and I get that. Like, this, the same thing happened to Andrew Cuomo during the COVID stuff. Like, the local media there got angry at him for blatantly lying to their face and embarrassing them, right? And so that's definitely a huge part of it. But like part of it, too, is you should be able to tell, especially in this Biden scenario, that like your eyeballs should have told you what they're saying is a lie. Like, it seems like they didn't want to admit it just because Republicans were also saying it. Like, they didn't want to be the same
100%.
Side as Republicans.
Absolutely. 100%. I mean, when did the 3 o'clock lid start? Was that like 2 months after he became president? Yeah. Remember that we used to be like, there's a 3 p.m. lid, and we'd be like, what? And lid is when they close press access, and we'd be like,
For the whole day.
And we're like, you know, and they made so much about Donald Trump golfing all the time and not being in D.C., but he was active, alert, and was the president. I mean, the thing about being the president is you're the president, unless you're Joe Biden, for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can be woken up at any time. The nuclear football's with you as you're yelling four on the eighth hole. You know, all those things are happening. And I don't know who Joe Biden, who's president right now. And there's actually media people that are starting to ask that question, which brings up, will the 25th Amendment be invoked? I thought it would have been done by this weekend, but I think Kamala got cold feet and they wanted people to come back to Washington. Like, I seriously thought that it would happen by this weekend.
It certainly should happen.
Right, it should. It absolutely 100% should. But it's just amazing to me. And it leads me to the question I said earlier, what else have we been saying that they've been obfuscating? As they ratchet up their things, I am half expecting the New York Times on Friday to run a story, Joe Biden's acceptance of payments after his sons and brother get lucrative foreign contact is of concern.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we're sorry, Glenn Beck was right.
Right.
Like I'm like half expecting it to continue to ratchet up to that because they want him out.
Right.
And they've got to do it by August 6th or 7th because that's the day that they have to have a candidate
for Ohio.
For Ohio.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
If this goes on beyond that, they have ceded the state of Ohio, which is pretty much ceded anyways.
Right. But I mean, that would be all sorts of problems for ballot access in the future. I mean, it would be a big issue if they didn't just weren't on the ballot in Ohio. What I keep coming back to as well, and we've been talking about these big themes, is that the only reason we're seeing this scattered shower of journalism that we're all in and I feel like we're in the golden era where all of a sudden for a 2-week period, journalists just do their job. Like, it's the weirdest thing I've ever witnessed. I can't even handle it. But the only reason it's occurring in reality is that they believe Joe Biden is going to lose. And they have an opportunity to switch this out. But like, I believe that the second they can't switch him out, we get past that August 6th or 7th deadline, they're going to switch back. They're going to find a way to go back and say, actually, Joe Biden's improved and he's now pretty much fine.
I just don't see it. I mean, I think the damage has been done. I mean, they may try to do that, but I don't think the American people buy them. And I don't think that they themselves can do it. But you have people like Brian Stelter trying to rewrite history, right? Last week, Brian Stelter is out tweeting, this whole right-wing talking point that the media all of a sudden has looked at Joe Biden's age is nonsense. They've been doing it forever. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, it's hard.
It's insane to me that they're saying that. But I don't think they can put that genie back in the bottle. And they're not buying anything the Biden administration does, right? Did you see the press conference yesterday? They're like, so, was the Parkinson's doctor here? I cannot talk to you about that because it's a personal, it's a private individual. I'm like, he's on the log. I can look at it right here. Was he really there? I cannot say that because it is a personal person and we can't say that. Would you like it if I said you came to the thing? I'm like, well, the logs are public, right?
Right.
They went at that. They're talking about, you know, the Biden administration going, Joe Biden is in a better position than he was in 2020. And then all of a sudden you have all the media going, actually, this is the first time that a Republican has led the Real Clear Politics polling average since it basically started in 2020, right? Like, this is the first time in 24 years that after July 4th, a Republican has led. I mean, we usually say, what, if you're down by a point, you're going to win the election because the polls are so skewed towards Democrats? And now he's leading the national polling. In some instances, he's leading the national polling, not with a plurality, but with a majority. I've seen two polls where he gets 51-52% of the vote.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
He being Donald Trump.
Donald Trump. I mean, they can't stand for that, right?
No.
Charles C.W. Cook made an interesting point in a column he wrote recently, which was basically like, let's just follow the liberal narrative here for a minute. This guy, they kept telling you he was fine. The media kept telling... the administration kept telling you you're fine. The media reported that dutifully over the years. And now all of a sudden, suddenly out of nowhere, who could have seen this coming? He has a terrible debate and all of a sudden we know he's not fine. Isn't the fact, if that's true, which I don't believe, but if it's true, shouldn't there be an investigation by the media into this administration who's been lying to you? Because even if, you know, Biden drops out, who's to say that they won't do the same thing with you on 25 other topics? How many times have they lied to you? If their narrative is true, they're not only completely incompetent in the media, but also they've got work to do to figure out how the hell this happened to them.
Right. But they want to do that, right? They knowingly lie about the economy. This is the best economy ever. Mm. Everybody's got jobs. Look at the job growth. They don't tell you that most of the job, that actually native-born Americans, their jobs have gone down under the Biden administration, and it's non-native-born Americans that have gotten the jobs. And they talk about jobs. They don't tell you that a lot of those jobs are people getting a second and third job so they can afford groceries. And then they tell you, oh, the groceries really aren't that bad. Right. I'm half waiting in like 2 weeks for them to say, oh my God, this is the worst economy ever.
Right.
You get credit card spending going up. You've got personal bankruptcies going up. You've got corporate bankruptcies going up. You've got companies shuttering all over the country, especially in liberal states. They think Gavin Newsom might be their like Lord and Savior, right? That's going to come in and save the day. He has driven every business out of the state of California as fast as he possibly can. You go there and you've got to dodge poo on every street. People know this about Gavin Newsom. They can't hide it anymore. And I think what they've done is they've completely destroyed whatever credibility they have left. And no matter what they say, people aren't going to believe them, because their lived experience is completely different than what these people are selling. Mm.
It's been amazing to watch this happen. And I think you're right. Like, there are different levels of this, right? You start off with sort of the friendly convincing of pushing Joe Biden out. You've done an amazing job. You've been incredible, but maybe it's time. You'd be a hero if you did this right now, blah, 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 blah. And you wonder if we do get to another phase here of threatening, right? Like, oh, gosh, you know what? What if we discovered all those bank records that the Republicans keep throwing out there? They're actually real and legit. Maybe we'll start covering them really and start treating them with respect. Start reporting the facts on that. That's the type of thing that Biden really doesn't want to happen.
Or the people running the administration, right? Like, that's the big thing.
Right.
And we talk about the 25th Amendment. And I keep saying this, and I think people think I'm crazy, but if you were to enter into a contract, don't you have to be of sound mind to enter into contract?
Sure.
Is anything, any legislation he signed in the past 3 years, if they invoke the 25th Amendment and we find out that he's been like this for 3 years, actually a law? I'm not a legal scholar, but if I was a lawyer and I wanted to get rid of a law, that would be my argument, is that this man clearly wasn't of sound mind when he signed this legislation. So is it law? Who has been running the country? Orrin McIntyre said that it's been a scam. I think he had Joe Biden's presidency has been a scam all along, because it's been the administrative state that has been running the government. Who's the real president? Is Barack Obama the real president with Ron Klain, who left in late 2023? But, you know, he's still helping out the administration. Who's actually the president? Because we know it isn't Joe Biden. If he's to get the 3 a.m. call, who answers it and tells them to launch the nukes, right? Because it's not going to be Joe Biden, because they can't get him up in time. And that's the scary part. And it's what Glenn's been harping on. And it's questions I think the media are starting to ask.
Mm-hmm. Which is amazing. They're doing it. Why didn't they do this a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago? Before you go, everyone I've been talking to about this has had a moment where they said, I am 100% certain this guy is going to be kicked out of office and not going to be on the ticket. And a moment where they're sure that Joe Biden's going to be on the ticket. It's been a roller coaster ride. And you can see this in the prediction markets. Like, sometimes it's 70% Kamala Harris. Sometimes it's 70% Joe Biden to get the nomination, which is freaking bizarre. But my thought from the beginning was, if this guy can make it through 2 or 3 weeks without giving up this power, he's going to run the clock out on this. And I thought it was interesting today. We've had day after day after day after day of negative coverage from every mainstream media source about Joe Biden. They've looked like, you know, like Breitbart or The Blaze or, you know, Daily Wire in their coverage on Joe Biden. And then today I woke up and I looked at the New York Times, and for the first moment since that debate, this was not a story about Joe Biden, that he should be removed from the campaign. It was a story about, like, Russia. For the first time, their coverage was led with something other than Biden and that he should be taken off the ticket. I mean, it seems significant to me. What do you think happens here? Can he survive this?
I mean, I think he can, but I think that money talks in politics, right? And I think that the donor class, you're already seeing it with Hollywood, the donor class is going to say that Joe needs to go. And I think that this ends with the 25th Amendment. I really do. Mm. I think, you know, as we said earlier, they got till August 6th to do it, because Ohio, if you don't get a candidate by August 6th, you won't be on the ballot in Ohio. Now, that might survive a constitutional challenge. There might be a bunch of different things. They could put somebody on because you're technically voting for the electors. So maybe you vote for Joe Biden in Ohio and you don't vote for Joe Biden anywhere else, but the electors vote for whoever the person is. If the Democrat that happens to win, because, you know, the dirty little secret is that you're voting for electors, not the actual person for president.
Yep.
Right. But I really don't think that they can move forward because they don't want Donald Trump to be president. But I think it's too late. I think that Donald Trump is going to win this election no matter who they put up. Kamala Harris can't put together two words. I mean, the media is going to have to try and protect her from that. Right. Gavin Newsom has a state that's absolutely faltering at millions of levels all across his state. They're going to put Gretchen Whitmer. I mean, who are they going to run? They don't have a bench. And, you know, and what's interesting from a Gen X perspective and a next leader up, it seems like Republicans have more of a bench with people like Ron DeSantis and Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio and even Tim Scott. And there is a broad swath of people that in 2016 ran that will still run again at some point in time. And I just don't see that in the Democratic Party because I think their old people have held on to power for so long and too long that they just don't have that ready to go.
It's amazing. I've been an amazing journey. I can't wait because at some point we'll look back at this as like the golden age of journalism. Like for 2 or 3 weeks, they cover Joe Biden accurately and it probably will dissolve after that. Rob Eno, Blaze TV's resident media critic. Thanks so much for coming back on the program. Appreciate it, Rob.
Thanks for having me.
Well, there are those who lead and there are those who follow. And when you have a real estate agent, you don't want a crappy one. That's kind of the way, it's like a catchphrase that we've been using around these parts. Because why? You know, a lot of real estate agents are not great, okay? Just like politicians. Some of them are good, the majority of them maybe not so good. You have to kind of sift through to find the diamonds in the rough. And I got news for you, you don't have time to do that. Okay. The truth is, you need to have somebody help you with this, someone who really knows what to look for. And that's why realestateagentsitrust.com exists. We're talking about the best agents in your area. Find the people that can get you the best price on your home, whether you're buying or selling, no matter where you are in the country. Someone who understands the crazy housing market we're dealing with right now. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home or both, please get in touch with realestateagentsitrust.com. Check it out now, realestateagentsitrust.com. The name kind of says it all. It's a free service to you. realestateagentsitrust.com.
Persil sorgt schon seit 1907 für tiefenreine Wäsche, auch bei den Johnsons. Oder Anna?
Das stimmt. Sogar meine Oma hat schon mit Persil gewaschen.
Und als Dankeschön für über 100 Jahre Vertrauen gibt's jetzt bis zu 15 Euro Rabatt auf unser Bestes.
Das mit der roten Schleife.
Genau, made in Germany. Mehr Infos auf unserbestes.persil.de.
Wenn es tiefenrein ist, ist es Persil.
Well, the endless sort of reality show that we've had going on to see who gets picked as Donald Trump's VP, which is something I like talking about. It's like the political nerds like to talk about. In reality, how much difference is it really going to make? I mean, people are going to vote on Trump whether they like Trump or not, right? It makes a difference to Trump's legacy in a way because it's important if you care about Trump's legacy that who's going to take over as the next candidate and whoever he picks as VP is likely going to be that person. From that perspective, it's important. But as far as this election, I don't think anyone he's considering here is going to make a huge difference either way. He's set to announce his VP candidate next week, reportedly. Here are the front runners. Now, we've had these reports 9 million times, but let me give them to you again. And I don't know if these are true because, again, these are just leaks from the campaign. But barring a last minute surprise, sources say 67-year-old Doug Burgum, 39-year-old J.D. Vance are the clear frontrunners in the GOP's top VP slot, with Senator Marco Rubio still having an outside shot. Other rumored options such as Tim Scott and Ben Carson were dismissed as having little chance of being picked. One source saying, no way Trump is going to tap Ben Carson. It would honestly make no sense. And that would not make a lot of sense. So that's where we are right now. Do I believe that? I mean, I'd be mildly surprised if it's not one of those three. As I said before, I love saying Burgamentum and Burgamania. We've been talking about Doug Burgum. This is the show that has talked more about Doug Burgum, I think, than any other show, mainly because saying Burgamania is fun. I don't necessarily get it as a pick. You know, he's fine, I guess, in some ways. His record is, I would say, mixed. If anything, it's maybe a little It's a little establishment, a little weak on certain major issues that I don't like all that much. He doesn't feel too much like a Donald Trump guy. J.D. Vance kind of does to me, and he does a good job arguing on Donald Trump's behalf. If I was caring about my legacy as far as someone who could carry this torch going forward as far as policy, he'd probably be my pick, frankly. Marco Rubio is another interesting one who's pretty much aligned with Trump, although not on some major issues as well. A couple of other stories I want to get to. Judge is saying now Nashville school shooters' writings cannot be released as victims' families have copyright. This is a bizarre story because normally when there's a shooting or something like this, you just get the information. And over again, conservatives have, I think, rightly questioned, like, what the hell's going on? Like, why are we not seeing the writings of this person this one time? We always see, whenever it's some, you know, white supremacist, we always hear every single freaking word they say. And now that it's some trans shooter, we're not going to get any of the information. I get that argument. On the other hand, the one argument that I think makes sense as to why we don't get that information is because the victims' families don't want us to have it. And you know, I mean, if your kid got killed and you don't want to hear them writing, you know, hear this in the news all the time, I can understand why you'd feel that way. Usually our right as the public to know information, it trumps that. And while it's sad, it is the normal kind of course of events. What's fascinating about this particular thing legally is that what happened is when the shooter died, her writings came into the possession of the parents. And the parents specifically decided to copyright the writings and then hand the copyright rights over to the victims. So the victims now have sort of like this ability to veto their release. And so I don't know. It doesn't seem like we're going to be getting that information anytime soon. One other thing we have not received as far as information is what exactly was in these text messages. Columbia removes three deans from power for very troubling anti-Semitic text messages. Now, I keep looking for what they are, and there's some rumors as what they are, but basically, like, they seem to be hidden from us, which is suboptimal. But I would like to know, because it seems like every time a conservative says something, a bad joke that winds up blowing up in their face, we always know. We know everything about it. But again, in Columbia, they're firing three deans. I mean, this is a big deal for being anti-Semites. I can't imagine how many more they have. How many deans do they have? What's the percentage that are anti-Semites? 70, 80%? Would love to know the actual number and what these people actually wrote in their text messages. If we find out, we'll give it to you. Since 2007, Folds of Honor has provided life-changing scholarships for the spouses and children of America's fallen or disabled in combat. And in 2023, they expanded this to first responders as well. They've awarded 51,000 scholarships, more than $200 million so far. This is a great program, and they've been doing great work for now a long time. Now, Flying Ace is getting involved with them. They've aligned with Folds of Honor to ensure that the children of our American heroes reserve the rights to be able to get the education that they deserve. As proud supporters of Folds of Honor, Flying Ace has had the privilege of providing hope for the families of those who protect our freedom. And to that end, Flying Ace is now sponsoring four scholarships awarded quarterly this year. So if you can donate, that would be great. And if you can help out donating another way, which is, I don't know, maybe you might want to try this, going to flyingacespirits.com. Because if you go there, you can scan the QR code on the screen. The link is also in the show notes. You go through that whole thing and you get to the website and you're like, maybe I can purchase a bottle of Flying Ace Spirits. They're delicious. They are a wonderful adult beverage choice. And of course, when you do that, you'll also be donating to Folds of Honor. So you can act like you're doing charity, even though what you're doing is just getting a good drink. But you'll also be doing great things for the people who actually make this country what it is. Make sure to use the promo code America. You'll get free shipping on every order. It's flyingacespirits.com. Flyingacespirits.com. The promo code is America at flyingacespirits.com. As you may have detected over the years, I am not a huge fan of LeBron James, but I kind of like Bronny. I don't know why. I mean, he seems like he's got a much better head on his shoulders than his dad does. LeBron James says Bronny will shrug off critics. He does not care. He says, I don't know if people understand Bronny. He doesn't care. I actually care a little bit. Is that really LeBron? You care about your image? No way. I can't believe that at all. He kind of says that, like, the kid, even though he's, super wealthy and and has all these options, has just chosen to do this, you know, very difficult path. And I think people are overdoing the idea that it's nepotism. As me and Dan Andrews talked about the other day, we're sort of pro-nepotism, but that's a whole different story. The guy was like the 20th ranked high school player coming out of high school. He had a major heart problem, almost died. And now he is coming into the pros. He had a bad year last year, but again, he almost died as well. I don't know. I take a risk on him as a player. Now, look, the whole circus that comes with it, it's going to be, I'm sure, annoying. But he seems to have a better head on his shoulders than his dad, which isn't a high hurdle to clear. But at least he seemingly is clearing it. Make sure to sign up for our free live broadcasts over at youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Make sure to click the bell for notifications so you know when they occur. We did a big breakdown of the Stephanopoulos interview the other day. You can go check out that. All the analysis at the beginning still holds up. There's a Q&A as well. All the stuff right there, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Click the bell for notifications and follow the page.